I bet a lot of us think about what it's going to be like to go over onto the other side and what we may understand there that we don't understand here and what we'll see and what we'll experience. It's a mind-blowing thing to think about because the mind can't go there.
That's
true. At least
my
mind.
Yeah, the mind's not designed. Well, you know, when you think about the this energy field that we call human, and there's some interesting research that was done by, let me see, it's a Secret Life of Plants, Cleve Baxter. Cleve Baxter was a guy who ran a lie detector service. And one day, Cleve decided to hook, you know, one of the things they measure with lie detectors is the sweat in the skin by the resistance, galvanic skin response. Mm-hmm. When somebody sweats, the resistance drops, and that can be, you know, one of the factors in deciding if somebody's telling a lie. So he decided to hook his lie detector up to a plant, and with the idea of he's going to pour water on the plant and see how long it takes, a plant that's obviously needing water, how long it takes for the water to get to the leaves. He figured he'd be able to measure that resistance. When he did that, instead of getting the measurement that he expected to get, what he got was a sigh of relief that he would expect from a human that had just been relieved of some kind of stress.
Oh, my goodness.
So when you think about it, and went on to do, it's an interesting book, Secret Life of Plants, and all kinds of capabilities that don't seem to be in the instrument yet, but they're there because they're measurable. So if in fact there is a creator behind this whole thing that is motivating and building instruments to express what has not yet been expressed in the creation. If that's what's happening, you know, I mean, you think about the mind of a mosquito. Mosquito opens its so-called eyes and its brain translates infrared energy, heat. Oh, there's blood, food, going to go get food, survival. That's what its quote-unquote mind is structured to do. What do you suppose the brain of a compound-eyed fly sees? I mean, compound eyes looking, you know, bringing in information from all. I mean, it's like the house of mirrors. What do you suppose they see? What's that instrument designed to do? And is this instrument we call a body-mind unit just the next step in what is waiting to come through? And we don't have a clue yet. You know, they said in the ancient scriptures, the mind of man is not yet conceived of what lies in store. Like, what's possible if we're not so busy with our past and our brain and its perceptual construct, if we know how to forgive and collapse that sucker and shut it down, what else is waiting to come through? I think we can make some assumptions if we look at the masters who had different things come through than the average bear. I think we could say that maybe this man Yeshua knew exactly what he was talking about. He'd set his instrument up to bring through things that were beyond anybody's comprehension. And he said, and you can do it too. Your instrument's designed for the same. But if you're busy with something from the past, if you're busy with false perception, if you're busy with perception, if you can't get out of your mind, then the mind is meant to serve the survival of the structure that you're in. But, you know, you're not a mosquito, and you're not a fly, and you're not a human. That's just a form for expression. And if we are able to start listening, like I think, for instance, say for something like cancer. Cancer is an organ of expression being built to express an energy that somebody's attuned to. It's just like an eye. You know, it's designed to receive light energy. It's an instrument to receive information. It's an expression of a capability. I think everything that we call a disease is also an expression of a capability. The key is to understand what capabilities don't serve the thriving and the expression of what's possible for us humans, but got stuck somewhere back in the genes or in the family history or the cultural history of something that was an organ of destruction and created death. What if we forgave all of that, gave all of that up, and really were able to listen? What else might develop? Is it possible that there'd be, I see cancer as an organ. It's expressing an energy that's there in the system. If we have higher capabilities, you know, I mean, we've got eyes, we've got ears, you know, this whole complex system with this little drum and these bones, and when these bones move, they create that's an amazing instrument. What do you suppose, if we were really listening, might be the next instrument that might develop in our physiology that might come into expression if we were on the high side of the possibility rather than stuck in the past of building things that express hostility and fear? Tumors and boils and, you know, aches and pains, you know, what if we freed ourselves of all of that? To me, that's the objective of the work. You know, when Yeshua talks about to he that overcomes, when we're willing to be finished with the stuff that creates expressions in form, and when we start to think of, here's Ruka, that's busy building an instrument for the expression of God knows what, speaking literally, that we haven't conceived of yet. And the way we become available to that is by being out of our minds, getting that thing to shut up, being able to collapse it.
Do you think Ilia Delio, when she says that the electronics that we're developing and using is partly talking about that, as if, though, I know you were...
Tell me more about the thought.
Said. Well, Ilia Delio is a priest, I think. She's a colleague of my daughter's, and she's also a visionary. And she gave some kind of a talk recently where she said, you know, don't be alarmed at all the electronics that we're developing and using and how the kids dive into these virtual realities that appear to take us away from where we are now. She said, actually, that's where we should be going. And she said, we're going to become cyborgs. And I didn't understand what a cyborg was. I know that's part of a television series that I didn't really pay much attention to, but I wonder if partly what you're talking about could be one of the vehicles or one of the means for getting there could be these developments in electronics. I know I'm kind of mixing up two things, but it's how are we
going to get there? No, actually, you're right on track. No, I think you're right on track. Yeah. My understanding of a cyborg would be someone who is literally has had machines implanted in them that bring capabilities in that we don't have within the body as it is. So that might be the implantation of a chip or a whole microcircuit or maybe a whole, you know, camera processing system, who knows what. And, you know, that's a possibility. Who knows?
Who knows? I wonder if we could probably get there without that, too. But here we've invented it, and it does seem to have a kind of trajectory that nobody could really think of. Although science fiction is kind of amazing that way. Often science fiction will have visions of what's up ahead, and we think it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. So my take is that as long as it's in the hands of someone connected to love rather than hostility or fear, it will probably be an expression of that. If it goes into the hands of hostility or fear, then it will go to the dark side. And that's why, you know, the opposite of that line from the Star Wars movie that says, may the force be with you. Like, okay, so there's this power that's building instruments of expression, and you want it to follow you. No, the force be with you is backwards. It's you be with the force. It knows where it's going when you allow it to lead. Ruka, he who undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. If we're with that force, then I think anything we would do would be, would serve to take us to the next level, because we'll get specific instructions. And for me, I feel like a great deal of this work has come from that place, things I could never have thought of with my own intellect or my own mind.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yep. Well.
So it's, to me, it's about
stuff.
Keeping developing the ability to listen, to get the mind to shut up and to listen, to really get into a sensitive space where I can hear, and not that I'm listening with my ear, but that I can hear, perceive in a correct way the guidance that's coming from that which is so much bigger and waiting to come through us. You know, you look at the word repent, and it comes from the root pense in French, which means to think, to rethink. And it has more to do with changing the mind and being able to move. You know, most people focus on what they're repenting. Oh, you horrible sinner. And they're focused on their horrible sin and their terror about it and their trauma. What? And, oh, my God, look what's happening to you also. Instead of, oh, I'm going to turn around. It means to turn around. I'm going to turn around and look the other way. I'm going to become receptive to what's waiting to come through, rather than fighting against what I don't like and what is, and pretending that somebody's out to get me. So can we turn and embrace at every moment, especially when challenged, especially when something resonates, something in the world resonates, hostility or fear. And it's a practice. It's a major piece of work to get out of the old frequencies and mindsets of hostility and fear. And literally, in the face of a challenge, turn and embrace what's Rukka telling us.
Totally. That's life work.
Just requires
watching, watching one's judgments. Judgments are a way of shutting out what really might be happening.
Yes. What's going on in the frequencies other than just the senses. This is going to be actually the second time, the trip that I'm making today is going to be the second time that I've gotten to be with someone in the deafing process. And I'm looking forward to developing my ability to listen on another level and be guided as to what, if any, my role is going to be in the process of this transition.
Right. Oh, my gosh, yeah. You get a lot of experience with hospice work doing that. Man, you're sitting with people who are heading out.
Choosing to be a doula.
Yeah. Right. Nice word. Nice thought.
So I'd sure appreciate everybody that's listening, holding the space for Joel and myself and Betty and David and all the whole family, just holding the space for them as this happens. A lot of people have a lot of terror and trauma and pain and who knows what from generations of unresolved loss and grief and not understanding. And so if everybody holds space for deeper levels of understanding and guidance, I'd sure appreciate the support.
Yeah, you're a nice guy, Michael Rice. I remember when we were down with Luke, down in near where you are, and Luke was having an intervention for his alcohol problem, and you offered to drive some distance to come and be with us. And we just couldn't fit it in. Things were so wild. We were using somebody else's house, etc. But I'll never forget that.
I recall
that.
It
was just really nice. Yeah.
Well, holding the space. So what's exciting in your life today? That's what's
exciting
in my life today.
Stuff. It's very exciting. Well, I wanted to ask Jeannie. Evidently, there's been some health thing, and I haven't been following the news. I saw something on Facebook, and I wanted to have Jeannie give a report.
Okay. I'm actually on the other side, and it's so good to feel good. But I had several days, about a week ago, I guess, I had this pain in my left side under my rib cage, but it was kind of like I was guessing it's where the colon that goes across and then goes into the downward in that corner. And so Michael suggested I go get a colonic, which I hadn't had in years. And I went and did that. And, of course, the little girl, she was a little Oriental lady that was probably didn't weigh 100 pounds, and it felt like I had somebody that weighed 300 pounds pushing on my gut. And she was excellent. And she said she could feel it. And so it was like a block right there. And, you know, I got relief from that. I felt bruised afterwards. But then Sunday we had family time planned. We were going to take a boat and go out to the lake and do all this. And about 3:30 Sunday morning, I spent 4 hours just major purge from both ends of the spectrum, and it was awful. And so I chose to not go on the boat. I figured, as yuck as I felt, that boat waves probably would not help. And Michael chose to stay home with me instead of going. But I stayed in bed most of the day and ate soup and just rested and laid around, and it all passed, and so I'm feeling much better. And so the timing of that was perfect, that Michael was still here when I was going through all that instead of it happening after he left. So
let me add a note of history and levity to the story. Jeannie and I first met on eHarmony.com. And eHarmony has a process that you go through where you send back and forth questions and answers, two or three rounds where they're kind of the firewall. You don't know who you're talking to except by name and state or city. So at any time, either person involved in the communication going through eHarmony can say, okay, I don't want to have anything more to do with this person, and they'll never find out who you are, and you'll never find out who they are. Well, we had gone through those rounds, and we finally, you know, trust each other enough to exchange phone numbers, and we had a conversation on the phone. And the first phone call, the first conversation we had, ended up, we talked about how bowels were working and what was happening with the colon. And so here's Jeannie getting to the next layer of clearing out the challenges that she's had with a lazy colon pretty much all her life, and you know, next layer of cleansing going on, and it was pretty intense, but
just that way,
part of the healing process.
So yeah, well, I was going to ask, you know, on a radio show you might not want to ask, and I'm always innately nosy, going to ask, what was it? And you sort of said, Michael, so thanks.
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, I mean, if you're eating the sad diet in America, then you probably have, or if you have eaten it for any length of time, which most people have, you know, it's kind of a food-free diet. The things that they called foods that were put in your mouths were grown on dirt instead of soil. Then probably there's some significant deposits within the colon. Back in my early days as a naturopath, one of the things that I did is we guide people through a process called the Kalima process. And it's where you do some deep, much like a colonic, only it's self-administered. And you do some deep colon cleansing using some specific herbs that are designed to dissolve the plaque that's in the colon. And I have seen pieces of black rubber-like material that look just about like, except they're the shape of the colon, just about what a piece of rubber laying on the side of the road is that's rolled off the tire of a truck. I've seen pieces of that 3, 4, and 5 feet long come out of people's colons.
Wow.
And most people are walking around not only with that condition in their colons. I mean, you think about how people tend to, you're quite the opposite there, but how people tend to blow up like a tick as they age. And what's really happening is that mucus has two purposes in the body. One of them is to lubricate. It's a thin, watery substance. That's what it's designed to be, to lubricate and keep things moving throughout the structure. And where there's toxicity, what happens is that that substance is designed to thicken and trap the toxicity and keep it from going into tissue. Now, that can happen. I mean, when I would work with people, and you've heard me say this before, but I'll extend it just a little bit. I can remember working with one woman who, on about, I don't remember exactly what day, maybe the sixth or seventh day of her Kalima process, she woke up in the morning and her body looked normal. She was a little bit overweight. You know, she looked normal. But by noon, she literally looked 9 months pregnant.
Wow.
And that much of a change in 3 or 4 hours, she looked pregnant. And by midnight, that was cleared from her body. That pregnant look was gone. Now, my understanding and interpretation of that would be there's a whole lot of hardened mucus in the body. And when it's hardened, just like, you know, if you blow your nose in the Kleenex and come back 3 days later, let's say you had a cold and you were really just blowing out. Man, that Kleenex was full. But you went back 3 days later and it was like there's almost nothing there. What happened to it? It dehydrated. An internal nose blow every time you eat junk food goes into their colon or goes anywhere throughout the body. I've seen people in doing the Kleenex process where, let's say, you know, their left shoulder, the muscles in the front, the pecs, appeared to expand like they just all of a sudden doubled in size. They just all of a sudden had this balloon going on. It's like, what happened? Have I got some sort of terrible disease going on? No, that's a place where there's been hardened mucus. And you're now vital enough, your body says, okay, we can handle this now. So it reliquefies it. So what happens? If you took 100 Kleenexes that were all dehydrated and had them in one little pile and rehydrated, what would they do? They'd be the size of a dog.
Wow.
They'd blow up. And that's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. So I've watched people doing the Kleenex process where different parts of the body just, and I've had this happen myself. It's like, whoa, well, that's interesting. And then, as long as you're keeping lymphatics going, you're keeping the energy moving, then the body will drain that out. It will pass out. And you'll see ropey, stringy, white strings of mucus come out. If you're doing the right kind of herbs, black strings of mucus will come out. We'll oftentimes see, what am I thinking of? When we were kids, the little puffballs you'd see, what was it called? Little white puffballs in the swamp. I'm not thinking of the name of them, what they are. But in any event, you'll see those things coming out of the colon, and they're literally things that were seeded in the colon that were precancerous, and the body's throwing them off, getting rid of them. In fact, people would have intestinal bullets, and what that meant was something that had implanted itself in the intestinal wall. When the body was strengthened enough to start to heal, it would literally pop those things out. If it was had been forced in, and you know, it would ultimately become an ulcerated opening in the colon. That when the body was strong enough and was re-knitting and strengthening, it would pop that out. And when it would pop it out, it would pop it, you know, like an elastic so hard that when it hit the other side of the colon, it'd be like somebody had been punched. An intestinal bullet.
Wow.
Boom, those things letting loose. And that's part of the detoxing and cleansing of the body. It's part of what needs to take place. There's actually a really good book. I talked about it one day last week. You can get it on Amazon. It's called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management by a fellow named Bernard Jensen. Bernard's the guy, the last time I saw him, he was 88 or 89. We were on a platform together in Deerfield Beach, Florida, at a psychologist's office. They had a conference, and we were both presenting at that conference. There was another conference that I presented at, and the program I'm talking about, the colon cleansing program called the Kalima. There's a board that you put on one end of the toilet. You have a 5-gallon bucket that's elevated. You have a tube and a high enema probe that you insert rectally, and you gently let water into the colon to flush it out. So it's kind of like doing a colonic, but you do it yourself. And the man who invented that whole cleanse was a man named D.E. Irons. I'm sure you've heard me talk about him before. And he was 80 in the conference that he and I only ever met him once, spoke at. And when he got up to speak and they introduced him and they said what his age was, he then had his wife come up and they introduced their 2-year-old. I forget whether it was a daughter or son. I think it was a son. Very proudly at 80, his 2-year-old baby. So he was pretty vital, pretty vital. But tissue cleansing through Bauman is a really excellent read if you want to know more about what's going on with your colon. And it's pretty important stuff. He gives, in that book, he gives, 6 or 7 different cleanse levels for detoxing the colon, from a really gentle one to the extreme of the DE Irons Kalima program.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead, Jean. No, you go ahead.
I just had a thought, you know, the besides the intestines and the bowel, the next eliminative organ, if those aren't working, is the skin. And,
yeah.
You know, to tie a lot of this together, you know, I've had some issues around my back and my lower back and everything. And with the process that Michael and I've been doing the last while, actually my spine has been broken out. I mean, it's just like right up and down my spine is the only place that it's been. And that's still there. I just now reached behind me to feel to see if it had gone away after all this release. But and then, you know, on top of that too, mental processing and stuff that's been going on and going to the next level on all of that. So, you know, it's like the crap has to come out. And I talked to a girl. I actually have a product that I had bought from her, and it just came the other day. And so I was asking her to make sure that I was going to be taking it right. One of them is a probiotic, and then the other one is for gut health. And so I was telling her what had happened, and she said, well, if you just had the colonic, she said, you know, and all those toxins, I mean, whatever was blocking it, you know, she broke it loose with the colonic and the massage on my gut and everything. And she said, so those toxins get in your system. She said the fastest way for your body to get rid of it is out both ends. You know, so, I mean, all of that makes sense.
And or the skin.
My back. Right, and my back breaking out, you know. But like I said, it's just up and down my spine. It's not on the other parts of my back. So,
And what else have we been doing for several months? We've been going to a new chiropractor and really doing some awesome work on, you know, working through some spinal issues and all the years of you sitting at a computer with your neck and all. That's another part of what you're redoing. And anytime that, from a naturopath point of view, the medicine I'm trained in, anytime somebody's skin is breaking out, it's a reflection of something that's not working in the colon. Colon is a major eliminative organ. It's designed to remove what doesn't belong through the lymphatic system. And whenever it's not working, there are reflexes to the whole body, to the skin. The skin is the largest eliminative organ. And when something's blocked and isn't working in the colon, then that's when things like boils and pimples and skin eruptions will start to happen. Because the body's saying, I got to get rid of this. You know, it's like a volcano. You know, what's it doing? It's opening up and releasing things from inside of the earth. Well, a pimple, a boil, outbreaks on the skin level. I know I've got one fellow that I worked with. Oh, Jesus, he was back at Heartland 25 years ago. He had extreme eczema. And after about, he was on the sports team for 2 years. And after about maybe 8 months, if I'm remembering correctly, 8 or 9 months, and he'd worked with doctors and done all kinds of things to try to get rid of his eczema. And after 8 or 9 months of being on the fresh and raw diet at Heartland and doing his work, his eczema just disappeared. Skin eruptions are the body trying to find a way to get rid of something. They're not a disease. Now, unfortunately, if you go to, you know, the drug-oriented practitioner, they'll tend to say, oh, well, I have a cream, I have a substance I can put over that, force that to stop throwing out that garbage. Like, well, why would I want to do that? My body's trying to get rid of something. So you've got a cream that will frustrate the natural process of the body getting rid of this. Where is that stuff going to go? Oh, I don't know any. And I had that conversation with somebody. In fact, I was doing a Kalima process. This goes back again into the early days of developing this work. And I had, there's a reflex point from the lungs to the cheeks. And I was doing some really deep tissue cleansing. I was actually doing the Kalima process. And that was back when I was just first starting. You know, I developed this work in South Florida. And then I started to get invitations. People who were into South Florida went back home and said, hey, invite Michael Rice to come up to Michigan, come up here, there, there. And I was just starting to travel and had kind of let go of my classes in South Florida and was traveling. And I've got these two big red rashes on my cheeks that are weeping sores on both cheeks. And I understood what was going on. Lungs were my challenge. And I had a friend who had a friend who was a skin doctor. And he said, look, you know, he won't even charge you. I talked to him. Just go see him. And I did. And he said, oh, yeah, I could just give you some drugs. We'll take care of that. No problem. Here's this cream. It'll take care of it. Like, and I asked him, well, what about the fact that my body's trying? And he literally said, well, I don't know anything about that, but I don't know how to stop it. It's like, thanks. I don't want to stop it.
Wow.
Well, let me give you this prescription just in case. I tore the prescription up. No. I mean, it's silly. It's silly. If I, you know, if I brought a plumber to my home and there was this mess in the backyard of, you know, sewage and all of that, and he said, oh, I know where, look, I can stop that from flowing up in your backyard. I have a 4-inch cork. You got a 4-inch pipe down there. I'll just put this cork in the pipe and the yard will be totally cleaned up. What would you say to him?
Right.
Where's it going to go if you put a 4-inch cork in it? It's going to go right up
right.
in the house. And that's exactly what right. skin eruptions, that's exactly what, you know, flu, the cold. They're never going to find a cure for the common cold because the common cold's not a disease. Common cold is the body saying, I have something I need to get rid of. You don't want to suppress the common cold. You want to cooperate. Your body's throwing off what doesn't belong. The lungs are an eliminative organ. The sinuses are an eliminative organ. And when you find yourself in a place where there's excess congestion, then you want to shift your diet over to an eliminative diet so that you're cooperating with the natural way the structure grows rather than, because the person who suppresses the cold ends up with the flu. The person who suppresses the flu ends up with something like emphysema. The person who suppresses the emphysema ends up with lung cancer.
Wow.
Because the body can't get rid of what it's trying to get rid of. You need to cooperate with elimination, and you need to make sure that your eliminative organs are working properly. That's so important. Like you do, you know, you often talk about you're out for a walk. That's one of the best things you can do to keep the eliminative organs operating, to keep the lymphatics going. Walking is a powerful way, and breathing is a powerful way to keep the lymphatics moving and keep it happening. And then, of course, doing the corollary work, mental, emotional work, generational pattern of hostility and fear and rage and, you know, whatever else comes up. Got to come up and it's got to come out.
So, that is really interesting stuff, Michael. I just got my cold sore gone. It took about a week, but it disappeared on its own. That's a good sign, I guess.
That's a good sign. Your body's finished with that piece of elimination. Yes. It's ridding itself of something.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jeannie, if you would, maybe when we complete, I'm going to be driving. I'd likely not think of it, but this was a question. Remember the other night as we were talking about this, Joe called and had an interest in this topic. So maybe you could send him a link to this show with just a note saying, you know, here's more conversation about the colon issues, because that's what he was talking about.
Okay, we'll do.
Cool. Awesome. Well, what else be on your mind, young lady?
Oh. Well, the fact is I have to leave. I've got a rehearsal, and I'm going to have to leave the show, and I wanted to listen, but I can't today. So I'm glad I could explain while I'm going to drop right off and get going.
Well, enjoy your rehearsal.
So, Thank you, and thanks for all the information. Good luck with your friend. And I'm glad you're better, Gene. Boy, yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
All right. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. All right. Quick question, Jeannie. When you put that food in the car, where did you put the muffins?
They're in the cooler.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you. Excuse me for interrupting the show with that. I'm on the road and I need to know where my snack is. Got some awesome homemade muffins to snack on to keep me traveling. So we've got about, 20 minutes left? So if you're out there listening, which one? Let's have a conversation. The conversation we just had, does that open anything for anybody? Any questions? Any refinements?
We have a hand up.
Huge. Oh, great. Let's go for it.
I believe this is Doug, 314. We haven't heard from you in a while. How are you doing, young man?
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. Come on in. Welcome.
Hello there. Good to hear your voice. Well, I have a question related to the topic of the day.
Yes.
You know, I've been dealing with this long COVID for a long time. I've tried everything under the sun, and I'm I feel like very, very gradually getting better, perhaps. But I decided to fast. I did some research on fasting and COVID, and I was like, I just need to do something to really reset, shift the system, and so on. So I've been in a fast now for about. And I'm looking for other thoughts about what to do to support the fast. I've been drinking just water with lemon for about 40 hours, and I've been nauseated this morning. I feel like of course I've had my traditional headache, and I feel like the body's in detox, you know, trying to, you know, I mean, all those senescent cells are dying and, you know, stuff's going on. So I'm looking for ideas on how to support that, and if it's a good idea to, it seems to me that I just want to stick with water and maybe a little lemon and not much else, but I could add something, you know, in a little bit. There's this clinic, I don't know, it's over in Europe somewhere that has had some good results fasting people for, you know, 3, 4, 8, 10, 15 days. And
I've
of course, I'm not there. You've done up to 40. Okay, so this isn't going to kill me. It's, you know, it's just going to be uncomfortable, and then I expect I'll get through this to a better place. So that's what I'm looking for, is like thoughts about what would be supportive to this process, if you have any.
Well, there's an interesting story in the scriptures that will probably key in for you. And you'll remember the disciples are out and they're doing this healing work, and they come back to Yeshua and say, man, we've been healing people, but you know, there's this one guy, I don't know if there were maybe more than one, but we just couldn't get it to move. We just, I don't know what, you know, what are we doing wrong? And he says, those ones only come out with prayer and fasting.
Right, yeah.
So what happens when you fast? Taking food into your structure is a relatively inefficient process. It takes a lot of energy to milk nutrition or to milk energy out of the nutrition that we take in. And so in the naturopathic system of things, if you were brought up in a naturopathic lifestyle, and I'll admit I don't do this, although there are periods of my life for years where I have, but we don't do this, and we've actually been talking about getting back to it. But the standard process is one 24-hour period per week, you only drink water. And then every quarter, so every 3 months, 4 months, every 3 months, you would do 3 days of fasting. And then once a year, you would do a week-long fast. And that's part of health maintenance. And what happens when you fast is all of the energy that goes into food, the thesis behind it, is all of the energy that's going into digesting the food and eliminating the waste is now relieved of its job, and now it can go to work detoxing and cleansing and moving things out that don't belong. And, you know, many spiritual traditions, fasting is, you know, one of the keys. And so, right, Alpha, you're right on track with that. If I were going to do a fast, I would add to that lemon, so that it's energetically balanced, just a little bit of maple syrup, the lowest grade you can, grade B, you see if you can find it, because that's got more minerals in it. And I'd add as much cayenne pepper as I could take, because cayenne pepper, you know, I was talking about the mucus earlier. What burns the mucoprotein bonds, what opens them best, is lemon and cayenne pepper. And cayenne pepper acts to literally break those bonds that keep the mucus in its dehydrated state, help to open it up so that it can rehydrate and be flushed out by the eliminator organs. So I would add
okay.
that.
Yeah.
I do have a friend in Florida. I'm actually, on Friday, I'm flying up to, we've got a meeting with a scientist looking at some health, discoveries. We're working on creating, through a couple of political people and some megabuck people are interested in actually delivering health to America, an actual health care plan to put into effect throughout the United States. And so he has a product that he sells that is actually based in mostly suppositories that take you through different phases of, you know, accelerating the body's ability to remove those senescent cells, and then stimulating stem cells and feeding those stem cells so they become strong and are able to grow into whatever they need to grow into. And so if you'd like, I'll connect you up with his products, and I know we can get, I don't know just what I think. I don't remember, John or Jeannie, I think we've got a 10% and maybe a 15 or 20% discount on his products, I'm not sure. So if you want something that, is specifically formulated for, you know, cleaning out the senescent cells and strengthening the stem cells and elimination of autophagy and such.
Yeah, that sounds on the mark. I've done the lemon, cayenne, maple syrup, you know, before, and I was just in this, I'm very open to that. I was trying to avoid, in particular, feeding my body any calories at all. You know, I felt like in this case, I need to just, no sugar, nothing, you know, so that I have to digest whatever's in each cell that doesn't belong. And I don't know if that's the best plan or if I should add this stuff. So having said that, do you think your thoughts on that would be to still go ahead and add some maple syrup?
Well, here's my take. The maple syrup is going to be very easy to digest. There are a lot of minerals in maple syrup. And the reason for using it, the lemon, you know, there's the aspect of what kind of calories you're taking in. The calories would be next to nil from that little bit of maple syrup. Not saying, you know, drink it. I'm just saying just put, you know, enough in to balance the tartness of the lemon energetically so that there's a balance in the energy that you're
right,
taking
I think
in.
That's,
if you're just doing the lemon, it's a little extreme in terms of its energy impact.
Two, as I recall, it's like 2 tablespoons in a, like a quart of water or something, along with the lemon of 1 teaspoon, something like that. I don't know.
You know, when I do it, we've got bottles that are, I think, 23 ounces, and I don't measure it, but when I do that with lemon, I'll take a whole lemon and put it in this 23-ounce bottle, and I'll put in, I do it by eye and pour it, but it's probably not much more than maybe between a half a teaspoon and a teaspoon is what I do, and then I add cayenne until I go, oops, that's getting a little too hot. You know, I know my threshold, and I'll just add cayenne until I realize it's too hot. And again, that's what tends to break those mucoprotein bonds. And that's where
all right, well, that's not much.
Things like organisms and such hide is in that mucus.
Sure. That's not much maple syrup at all. So you put a whole lemon? A whole lemon? Do you, like, blend it?
I put a whole lemon
what?
In a 20... No, I just juice the lemon. Pardon me. When I say a whole lemon, I'm talking about the juice from a lemon. If
all
I
right.
had organic lemons and a good blender, I'd blend the whole thing up, but the organic lemons are not easy to find.
All
yeah,
right.
you could
well,
that's
a lot of
talking,
lemon.
The juice.
That's a lot of lemon in there. So, okay. That's
well, that's why
more
you want the balancer. But lemon, you know, if you look at the atomic structure of most fruits and vegetables, the atoms rotate to the right. Lemon is what they call lateral rotary. It actually rotates to the left. It goes opposite. And, you know, in naturopathic medicine, it's kind of looked at as a rotor-rooter, kind of like it goes in and it starts to just clean things out.
Okay. Now that's...
So you want enough to make an impact.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to drag myself up to Walmart and get some lemons, I think. I think sometimes they even have organic ones because I'm about out. But, good.
Perfect.
That sounds that's
cool.
Sounds,
and we'll hold the space. And the other thing I would invite you to do is to really look at, since COVID struck, what kind of thought patterns has it resonated for you? How has your breathing been? And I'd be looking at doing some forgiveness work around. In my case, they talk about the killing off of viruses. You can't kill off something that's not alive. Viruses, it's not life. It has no life. It can't reproduce it. It just isn't. What it is it's a fragment of DNA. That's my take. And as such, it carries information. If we get these fragments of DNA floating around that get into our structure that are of a higher level of vibration than we normally live at, then we're going to tend to be elevated by them. If we get something that attaches to, you know, my take is nobody's died of COVID. What people are already killing themselves with, you know, you go back to the ancient teachers who were talking physics, and they said, with man, death began. We made the process up. How did we make it up? By engaging in energetic patterns that didn't belong. Remembering the word sin in Aramaic is an archery term, it means off the mark. The wages of sin is death. If we engage in frequencies that don't belong, then over a period of time, it looks like we age, but it's got nothing to do with time. It's got to do with the toxic energies that we're taking in. And my offering would be, and I'm saying this from experience of having had COVID, it's found it to be a really powerful upgrade for both Jeannie and myself, is that that fragment is of a disintegrative nature, and if there's a matching disintegrative energy in me, there's something for it to attach to. But it's not the virus that's going to harm me, it's what it attaches to in me that is already of a disintegrative nature, and it's inviting me to work through it. It's offering me the opportunity to work through it and have the health upgrade rather than, you know, oh, I have to do the same thing as I spoke about with the skin eruption. I have one friend who was very distraught when I had these skin eruptions. Oh, you're detoxing too fast. Oh, you better stop that. Go see the doctor. It's like, no, I'm at a pace my body's comfortable with, and I'm willing to allow this to continue. And, you know, it didn't continue for, I don't even remember now exactly. It was probably somewhere between 6 months and a year I had this going on, traveling around the country. But I'm thankful I did it because it took a load off my lungs. Part of the process. Wow. So my offering would be to really be doing some soul searching on what's the day you got COVID, what was going on, what kind of things have surfaced that maybe are out of what usually is going on in your life, what's usually surfaced, and what are you being invited to forgive? And it's giving you the gift of resonating and showing you that if you do the work of freeing yourself from it, then there's going to be a load lifted, and whatever tissue was being burdened by it will youth instead of age as a result of the healing work you do.
All right. Yep. Sounds good. All right.
Well,
very good.
And the other thought that comes is to ask, you know, you started to work on the codependence intensive. How has that been going? Are you working through those videos and doing those assignments?
Yeah, I haven't. I just haven't. I haven't done it.
Okay.
So
that's I'd offer that.
Good
I'd
reminder.
That's the invitation. You know, when I say I've been struggling,
right,
trying to get through this, that's one of the keys to getting through it, is digging into doing that level of work, because that's the source level of where things happen that turn out to be deterioration of the body. That's the source level. The opening words of the Book of John, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became what happens in our physiology. And I've got to work through that mind energy that's like any form of disintegrative nature. So I'd suggest you go back and maybe start from, go back and review your evaluation. In fact, you've probably got some fresh evaluation. I don't know, you've probably got some evaluations still available from the intensives you've done. I'd go log into yagain.com, put in your credentials, select do a new evaluation, let G or I know by text. When it's done, we'll give you some feedback on exactly what to work with, and then start with the feedback videos that go with the beginning of the intensive for the evaluation. Start looking at what are the issues, what do you need to be looking at next, and then start to go through that. You know, I know it's big, it's 90 hours of video, but it sounds like you're ready for the next level of your work.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate the support and the good insights and ideas.
You got it, sir.
All right. Have a good
journey. All right. Any other thoughts for you
then? And I'll just say have a safe journey and a spiritually transcendent experience with that event that you're
sure.
about to
yeah.
cooperate
Question.
With. Yeah, that.
You know, I'm just thinking, what year was it that you were at Heartland? Do you remember? When you came and were on the support team with your daughter? Was that 91?
That would be my best guess, right about there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might know Joel, because Joel was actually living at Heartland for, I think, the first 2 or 3 years that we were there. He was there, and he was a music director. He was doing some music stuff. Do you remember him? And it might have been after he
honestly. Yeah, yeah, I don't honestly remember him by name, at least, and by description that you've given so far on the show today. So I don't recall him.
Yeah. The year that we were there, was there much singing going on with in the intensive? Because he would do a few concerts and things if there was much singing. And
yeah, I don't think that doesn't come to mind. That there was. So.
I think he was there in 80 and 90, so it might have been 91 when we were there. But anyway, thanks for holding the space for him and for me.
Okay, you bet. You got that. I'll do that.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye. Well, Ms. Jeannie, we've got a couple minutes left. Any other thoughts for you?
No, I was just going to add, you know, as far as during COVID and everything, one of the biggies for me that I had to work on was fear. That was, you know, one of the first things that came up for me, you know, around getting COVID. I mean, there was, you know, so many people that were dying from it. And so looking at, you know, immortality or, you know, what I had bought into. And, you know, I really had to work through a lot of that.
Yeah, coming face to face with mortality is a big one.
Yeah.
And add, you know, a piece of work that would many, many people would benefit from would be canceling the need to live and doing a mind shifter like dying is safe, easy, and wonderful for me. And making friends with that and that being part of lifting that fear and recognizing that we're not bodies, that we're beings, and this is just an instrument. And, you know, if I move to a new house, I move to a new house. It doesn't mean that I'm gone. Not in that house anymore. So, you know, letting go of that whole concept of being vulnerable to death, I think, is an important important. And then, you know, I'll finish the show with that quote from Revelations where Yeshua says, to he or she that overcomes, and I'd offer overcomes the energetic patterns of hostility or fear, will not taste of the second death, and I'd offer that's the death of the body. They will become a pillar, and a pillar is a fixture, in the temple of the Creator. The temple is not for curtaining the church, it's the body. They will become a pillar and shall go out no more. We're going to stop killing ourselves. I'm here to vote that we stop killing ourselves, that we actually step into the role of what we are designed for as human beings, and that's to be the eternal expressions of love. And that's what we're here to support you in. In the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. That's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You can give it, and we're here to support you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim.